Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Folks, and welcome back to the Grave Consequences podcast, a part of the Social Suplex Podcast Network. You can follow me on Twitter. My name is Caleb. You can follow me on Twitter at IamCalebB. You can follow Greg at XMaserati. Check the show out every Thursday morning. Check me out every Wednesday night after AEW Dynamite on Eddie and Caleb's HeroCast. For reference, the recording date is April 8, 2021. And Greg, besides work, let's take work out of the equation because then I know your answer and drag people down a little. How are things going, man?
You know, it's things are going fine. It's funny how we opened that show, and I'm not calling you out, but you know how you were kind of like, you flubbed it a little bit?
Yep.
And you were like, I knew what was going through your head. You're like, okay, I gotta like, what do I normally say? Which is, and I could just feel it coming out of you because that's how we both feel about this episode.
Yeah, and, well, this episode, let's be honest, this episode fucking sucked, dude.
You came at it with the same energies they must have had. This must have been like on a Wednesday afternoon, or and they're just like, let's just fucking film the episode, guys. Let's get in there. Let's get out.
And not only that, like, as little effort as they put into it, it was snake bit to all hell. At least the main event was.
Yeah, and we're not insinuating that they were lazy and they didn't do their job. It just wasn't a great episode.
No.
And it was kind of a...
No, you know what? This may be hyperbole, and we'll rate it later. This literally might be their worst episode ever.
I think it is. We'd have to go back and...
I was going to say, to like, as far as we are into the show, I'm not necessarily referencing anything that's going to happen after this.
No, in a vacuum, the shows that we've reviewed on the air... I'd have to go back and see what our worst rated show was, but and you know, my memory's crap, so I could be completely wrong, but
you got that Benoit disease. So that kind of makes sense.
I love my Bowflexes, man. I can't stop. but no,
right, Bowflex, brother.
Damn, you broke where I was going with that. Mm. I lost it.
Oh, but yeah, long week. I fucking killed it at the gym this week.
Yeah? How so?
Yeah, we're talking. I set a goal on my cardio because I do the elliptical every night. I set a goal of 30 miles. You want to guess how many I hit?
32.
Almost 34.
Oh, see? Yeah. I guessed right.
Yep, exactly. You did. Folks, this is season one, episode 34 of Lucha Underground. The good news is we've got four episodes in between us and the season finale.
Do you remember if they were kind of filling it with bleh shows near the end? before they got to the main event? Because I'm trying to think, is the next one going to be bad?
I feel like there's going to be at least one more episode that's like a lot of medallion matches. But they are also going to, I suspect, further build the Vampiro and Pentagon thing. And that is probably going to get really good.
And the only feud right now that is kind of lame would have originally said was Tejano and anybody.
Yeah.
But Daivari's, I like him. He's probably one of my highlights in this match. I like his, like him as a heel. And so their feud's kind of good. It would be like if I'm doing a pay-per-view, it would be near, it wouldn't be maybe the opening, but it would be close to the bottom.
Yeah.
For people to take a bathroom break, as mean as that sounds.
Yeah.
But like a change in momentum after big matches is probably what I would put out there. But the other one that's not good is Blue Demon Jr. versus Chavo. I mean, that's a feud going on. We know that. That's been a whole series long feud. Mm-hmm. That's bad. And whatever the hell Black Lotus does this season, because we tell you to not get excited about the storyline, because I can't even remember the next time something in the match is going to happen related to this.
Yeah.
Story.
I believe, and I could be wrong, I don't think she shows up in the temple, like in front of fans, for the rest of the first season.
I think that's probably accurate, because I can't remember. There's one big moment I remember.
She does in this season, yeah.
Maybe even in second, like two or three events stretching over the next two seasons. So that's kind of lame. It's kind of a lame story. And what's the other lame story? That it might be just those three.
I feel like you're not a big fan of the Mundo and Berto stuff.
No, it's good. It's just I like it. It's just I don't like how it ends. Like how I don't like how Mundo never got. It was a good story, and then Mundo never got his opportunity to get his revenge. It was just, it's gonna be one and done, and it's kind of like it just feels like I don't know. I'm resentful to Alberto for leaving before I could get a conclusion to it. So but those are the three lame ones, and I think a few next episodes might focus around those.
Yeah. Hey, what's going off in the background there, bud?
What are you hearing?
I'm hearing like a beep every now and again. It's nothing that's going to interrupt the recording or anything. It just kind of stuck out to me. That's all. Not a big deal.
I'll have to listen to it and edit, because I don't hear it.
Yeah. It's all good, man. It's all good. So, episode starts with a vignette of Dario Cueto in his office. He's counting money when Chavo Guerrero shows up. And he says, hey, I want my final request honored. And Dario is like, well, you know, I got you protection from Mexico. I got you your match with Blue Demon. And my mind's kind of blanking on what your final request is. And Chavo's like, well, don't screw with me, dude. And Dario's like, hey, I'm kidding, dude. I want my title. And Chavo's like, I want my title match. He's like, you know what? You'll get your title match. And how about it's no DQ? And Chavo's like, well, you know, it'd be really nice if you could protect me from Conan and his cane. And so Dario says, you know, okay, so it's no DQ. And if Conan interferes, you automatically become champion. So the deck at this point has been stacked against Prince Puma.
It's stacked against Puma. And the main thought going through the back of my head was, how many wishes does he get from Dario Cueto? Because he just keeps asking for stuff, right?
Absolutely. It's like the old Kyle Cease bit about the asking the genie for six wishes. Because like everyone and their mother will see a genie and they'll be like, infinity wishes. And the void. And he says, you know, if you play your cards right, you can indebt your genie to you forever, but you have to be very careful. You can't ask for infinity wishes off the bat. You have to ask for six. And like the first four or five go towards the genie. You're like, I want to take you to dinner. And Genie's like, well, okay, that's cool. He's like, and wish number two, I want to give you a pet fish, Genie. Anyway, bunch of wishes. He does the fifth one. And then the Genie's like, oh my God, this is great, dude. What's your final wish? And the guy goes, infinity wishes. Great stuff. Great stuff. Kyle Cease told it better than me, though. I'll be completely honest with you. Mexican Dubweiser played us in again. So no Los Rio box. That tells me this is a new set of tapings for what it's worth.
Well, they did change clothes.
Wait, are you theorizing that they use the same house band and just change their name and their clothes each time?
No, I'm insinuating that they were repeatedly changing their clothes, the announcers, to make it seem like it's a new episode.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Let's see here. Oh, first match of the night, Tejano versus Delivar Daivari. I noticed when Delivar was in the ring, the crowd was chanting, the believers were chanting Golden Shower.
Yes, and I was going to ask you, is it okay if we name this one Guerreros and Golden Showers?
Absolutely, dude. Yes.
Okay, we'll do that. Yes.
I love that. You know, I will endorse just about any name you could give this show. Well, not any name, but you know.
Oh yeah, we'll go through a what do you call it, a editing process to make sure we don't make any mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you may not like him, but Tejano is really over with the believers.
He's over. I think they just got like a really good crowd that will just go nuts for whoever they say is the good guy.
Yeah.
You know, or like anytime, like any kind of other media makes fun of wrestling fans and makes us look stupid, like, oh, he's the outsider. We hate him. Or that's these kind of fans right here, which are perfect if you're televising your show. No smart marks take over your show.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Fair enough. At one point, Daivari gets manhandled by Tejano. He slides out of the ring, and he powders behind Big Rick, and Tejano kind of backs off because, you know, you've seen Big Rick before.
Once or twice.
Oh, what's that now?
Once or twice.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Vampiro refers to Daivari as Daivari Jabroni. So what a way to get the heel over.
He does switch here, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At one point, Tejano's running the ropes and Big Rick pulls the leg. And Daivari then, when Tejano's distracted, Daivari clips the very same leg. I thought that was a good psychology, if you will.
Daivari does good wrestling here. Like I was very much a fan of it. It sometimes wrestlers will just do generic, you know, limb targeting, but it's very calculated and it's with a brawling mentality. So like even if you got into a fight with Daivari, like even if you're bigger than him, he fights so dirty that he can get the upper hand, which is it's good to not just have chicken shit heels sometimes. I think.
I agree.
It's nice to have heels that are like, okay, yeah, they're not the best, but they can fuck you up.
Yep. Let's see. At one point, Big Rick, to distract Tejano, takes the bull rope out of the corner, and that distracts Tejano. Let me ask, have you seen the movie Pootie Tang before?
Of course I've seen Pootie Tang.
Okay.
Sadate.
Sadate. Call me down on the panty sty. I was wondering if, hypothetically, maybe that bull rope to Tejano is kind of like the belt to Pootie Tang, and that like the power isn't necessarily in the belt, but in who holds the belt. So like maybe if Big Rick tried to use it, it wouldn't be that effective. But when Tejano uses it, it's killer, you know?
I think that's a very plausible theory.
I don't think they go that route, but they should have.
They in this environment where there's gods, yes, you can definitely do like a thing like where, you know, if he, like Samson, I think it is, where if his hair gets cut, he loses his powers.
Yeah.
It's only going to get, as you watch this show, this kind of stuff gets more and more plausible. Like, you'll accept it. Like, you won't even question it. What I was going to say is, Tejano, when I watched this, I had very big Triple H vibes. Like, he was going for, he had the knee pads, he had the wrapped wrists, I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
Does Tejano have the wrapped wrists?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and then he uses the bull rope as like the sledgehammer.
Yes, there we go.
And a lot of when Tejano's being a heel and he's doing any limb targeting, it always reminded me of how Triple H did it.
Yeah.
So, and which is a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah, Triple H is a solid B+.
But I think you're good. I think you're good on your theory, bro, because that's very close to how he treats his. I think people take it away and he will lose, like as a distraction, but
yeah,
you could interpret that as like losing his powers.
Yeah. See, no, I'm saying like that's definitely the way they should have gone, where like not like the belt has power itself so much as Tejano has the power and uses his power with the belt, you know?
Yeah, like a He-Man with the Sword of Eternia.
Yes, whatever that means.
old people will get it.
Yes, you olds will get it. Tejano thrust kicks Big Rick when he's on the apron. And then he immediately powerbombs Daivari, and he gets the win. So Tejano got the win. Hopefully, and I think it is, hopefully the feud's over.
I don't think so.
Mm.
I know there's maybe not all three of them together, but there might be some crossing of a feud.
Yeah.
There was a nice powerbomb, though. I'll say that. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And when he super kicked, Vampiro was saying a lot of crazy shit. Like one of my favorite things was, Rick needs to turn all the way around to see the ring because he would kept running with the right side of his face facing the ring, but that was the eye patch.
Yes.
And then when he got super kicked, Vampiro was like, "Yep, super kicked to Rick's blind side."
Yeah, which makes sense.
It's good, he didn't seem like Daivari or Rick.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but no, I thought it was good. Storytelling measure to have Tejano kick him in the blind side.
And it was did you hear the chant from the fans that were chanting, "You have no friends"?
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah,
that was great. Crazy. I want people to chant that more at wrestlers.
yeah So at some point between now and the beginning of the show, Konnan got the intel that the match tonight is no DQ with Konnan not able to interfere, blah, blah, blah. And Konnan's like, "Hey, the deck stacked against you. Ain't no thing." Whatever. Katrina shows up and basically says, like, "Hey, you know, if you win tonight, Mil Muertes is going to destroy you because he's going to destroy anyone that stays between him and the title." His title is what Katrina says. So she's already very possessive over something they don't rightfully own.
Well, in her justification, she does rightfully own it.
I mean, in what? Like, Mil Muertes was in Aztec Warfare and he didn't win.
He's more powerful now, though.
That's no excuse. let's see here. Oh, Konnan is talking to someone. And he says, like, "Hey, I'm going to keep it 100.
I had to hide their channel from my YouTube recently.
Really?
I used to, yeah, because they're just going down they're becoming like the cliche, like anti-AEW guys.
Oh, they're anti-AEW? I would have figured they would have been anti-WWE.
They're kind of both. But
it's him and Disco, right?
Yeah, Disco's like, and sometimes they're right about things, like, because they've had some misses recently.
Yeah.
But they're just like, "Oh, they're not a ratings draw. They're failing." And it's like, guys, wrestling is not drawing ratings just in general.
No, wrestling isn't a draw anymore because people realize life is too short to worry about fake fighting. By the way, listen to our podcast every week,
where we talk about fake fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You have time for that.
Absolutely. So Konnan said, he's like, "Hey, like, you know, Chavo's got the crew and we kind of need some help. So maybe you could help us out." Again, we don't see who this is that he's talking to. I assumed Blue Demon, but, you know, we'll see.
And that does play into what comes along.
Absolutely. Yeah, this was a good one-episode story arc in that regard. In that, like, you know, you did have one plot that was connected throughout multiple segments in the show.
It's a shame because, like we were saying earlier, it's not like they didn't try.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't land. And it actually is a good story. It's just the match. With wrestling, people are always like, "Oh, story's not important. Our story's important." It's not 100% keeping it one. Going back to the keeping 100, but it's not 100% one or the other. But You can't have a great story and then have a lousy match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to get, a lousy match out of this one story. And you can't just have good wrestling without a story.
It's like, it's one of those, like you mentioned, great story with a lousy match. Prime example would be the Big Show versus the Authority storyline from 2013. In that was legitimately one of the best angles they've ever done. And it capped off with a lousy Randy Orton versus Big Show match at Survivor Series that year.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is like, this could, if you put like a greater match in here and a greater final up match in this storyline, I'd care. But it's hard to care when I know what's going to happen. And it's just lousy.
Yeah, I agree. So next up, we have a match between Hernandez and Drago. And Hernandez pushes Drago down when they go face to face. He turns around. He does his little swagger walk that he does. That's cool as all get out. And Drago pulls himself back up.
This is this might have been the best match.
I disagree, because it was too short. This was more about story. Oh, at one point, Stryker mentions, he's like, hey, Hernandez has won like 20 titles, and Vampiro's like, name them. Which, why would you do that? Like, that puts you in a weird position. We already refer to TNA in this show. They refer to TNA basically as a joke. They never refer to it by name. Ivelisse jokingly said she would go to Nashville if she wanted to be a comedy act. So, of course, they're not going to mention those 20-some-odd titles that Hernandez won in TNA.
Well, it's that. And who's Vampiro is the heel commentator. Who's he supposed to be getting over right now?
Yeah, he should be trying to get over Hernandez, but he's too busy trying to bury Hernandez and get himself over, I assume.
Because I can't even remember where he was on Hernandez before, did he not? Like, he kind of switches a lot.
Vampiro is very hot and cold on Hernandez. So we talked about it earlier with Davari. Vampiro is very hot and cold just in general. And this is why we're not really big fans of him.
I like it when a heel commentator will have an issue with another heel. Like, I like the heel versus heel, and I like it when it's not, oh, he's a heel, I'm automatically going to be his friend because I'm a heel too.
Yeah.
Like, it's I'm okay with a heel commentator not liking a heel wrestler.
I'm not okay with
the flip-flopping.
Just flip-flopping, yeah.
It's kind of, I guess he's keeping in character, he's crazy, but it doesn't like, add anything.
Like, there's a reason. I'll give you an example, and you don't watch main roster WWE. You barely watch NXT, to my understanding.
I haven't watched in a long time.
Renee Young on Raw, there's a reason a lot of people didn't like her. Her commentary would contradict itself from minute to minute. And maybe that's how they scripted her for some reason, but it was bad.
Yeah, if it's like someone does something super dastardly that not even the heel announcer, you wanted to get it over as the worst thing ever. Like, you want to give him heat. Yeah, make him flip and you know, put down the heel. Like, oh, that he's gone too far this time. That's fine. Stuff like that. But Vampiro is just kind of like, he's random. He's a wild card. As far as
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Announcer, like, yeah. He's going to do something like random.
He's like the Charlie Kelly of commentating.
Yeah, very much so. Like,
he cut the brakes, bitches.
I actually like Stryker. He's already gotten better.
Yeah,
remember,
absolutely.
We were very critical of him in the beginning. I can't remember the last time we were, besides nitpicking stuff like we do.
Yeah. No, Stryker, and we mentioned it. I mentioned it anyway. I put it over. Like, the last few minutes of All Night Long, he was amazing.
He's good. Yeah. That Stryker is good. I would have, give me him and Excalibur on an announcement table. I'd be all right.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So at one point, Hernandez and Drago are battling on the outside. Hernandez hits a border toss on the apron. Hernandez then grabs a Mark by the throat and takes the belt off of him. And he scares the crap out of this plant. Beats the crap out of Drago with the belt. Tries to like hang him by the ropes, right?
He almost killed him, but he's a dragon, so I guess it takes longer.
Exactly. So, you know, he's up in the ropes, and Hernandez didn't break the count. So Drago wins by DQ. But again, Hernandez just got the better of Drago in this, and he grabs the mic, and I was so excited. I was like, hell yeah, we get to hear Hernandez again. That's awesome. He says, you dumbass fans don't realize dragons aren't real. Your hero is a man.
I pop for that, dude. That was actually my favorite part of the show.
If you have a problem, come in this ring. I'll whip your ass, too. Hell yes, dude.
It was a little joint. It was the way he delivered it was kind of rocky.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he was out of his breath or just forgetting his lines or whatever. But it was so great hearing a dragon or hear a wrestler tell the fans that dragons aren't real and get booed for that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Dude, I know he's older, but someone sign Sean Hernandez. Let's make it happen.
Hey, you could use him. I mean, unfortunately, I think some people are drafting too many people, but I'm trying to think where I would like him in anything.
I will put it this way. If we do the Social Suplex Fantasy Draft, he's probably going to be a late rounder for Grave Consequences. Just saying.
Well, we're going to have to talk about how that draft works, because if we can just name any wrestler, then...
Well, the way I remember it, it's like they do have to be active.
So we have to make sure he's active. That's it.
Yeah. But which if he meets the qualifications, in my opinion, I'll say it right here, he'd be a late rounder, like maybe a Mr. Irrelevant last round pick, that sort of thing.
How are we... Great. Is this like a fantasy thing? Like we get points for their wins or their stars? Like how's this?
No, this is entirely just a for fun draft.
Oh, okay. Then that's fine. That's fine.
Drafting a roster, and I think a lot of people are going to try to put a card together.
Oh, they did do that last time, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when Keeping a Strong Style cheated. I don't remember if you remember that.
Because they tried to pick like a bunch of dudes and they didn't pick a tag team.
No, they were like picking the same matches.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So, did you have anything else before I went on to the next match?
Before I ruin the next bit? No, I'm good.
Okay. Berto versus Marty the Moth. Far be it, you know, it doesn't surprise me that Berto has no scruples about beating up a crazy man who Vampiro has implied might be Regal.
Yeah. Who's Regal? Alberto?
No, Marty.
Marty.
Regal being a substitute for something else that you're not supposed to say.
I actually didn't get that.
I used it last week, or 3 days ago, dude.
Oh, you're already going way past my normal memory.
Fair enough.
By 2 days. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Just text it to me later, I guess.
Sure enough. Absolutely. But this match was just a minute long. It took Alberto a minute to lock on the arm breaker, and it took Marty like 5 seconds to tap. And Alberto then grabs a mic, and he basically says he's going to fuck Johnny's shit. But, you know.
It's good. I like this actually was enhanced by my impression of Alberto now. I could totally see him beating up someone that's mentally challenged. And you know, Marty's new, so he didn't lose anything from losing to their top draw.
No.
You know.
Plus Marty at this point, like, he's a born loser. He hasn't won a match yet, dude.
He's had some good spots.
Yeah.
And I liked his he looks good in the ring fighting these guys. But yeah, he's kind of the joke right now character.
Absolutely.
So it's perfectly passable, but for me, I don't know what if you feel the same way, but Alberto's moves, he just doesn't seem like very. It's kind of like if I go if I I could do the same sequence if my finisher was a reverse chin lock. You know what I mean? Like his moves don't have much. You know, they just feel like they could be anything else.
Yeah. No, I get you. I get you.
Do you get it? Just feels very replaceable, like with anything. Like I
expendable.
I don't know. It just seems like a creator wrestler. Like, okay, well, I'll give him these moves now, and it would look the same. I don't know. I'm explaining it poorly, but it doesn't wow me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, cool. No, got the arm breaker. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Marty was just here to get beat up, and so Alberto could cut a promo. This match literally didn't need to happen. It basically just said, oh, hey, Berto's not here to play games. Plus, he was wearing blue and gold gear. That's cool, I guess.
It was kind of cool gear, but I don't even know if he wears this again.
Yeah. That's, oh, man. That could be the name of our show, Cool Gear.
Of this episode, Cool Gear?
No. When we fantasy book the show.
Yeah, we can do that. They won't steal this because they don't listen to our show.
They don't because they're pieces of shit. next up, main event of the evening. Chavo Guerrero comes out with the crew, and Vampiro and Stryker both wonder, like, where's Bale? Which, good attention to detail there.
I did like that, yes.
Where
is he, by the way?
We know.
I forget what happened to him.
Greg, he's dead.
Oh shit! He was my favorite character.
Are you kidding? Yeah, you're a Bale guy. You're like, like me when I was at Revolution, and I was like, I'm a John Reynolds or Alex Reynolds guy.
I'm a Abaddon guy.
You're an abandoned guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Amazing.
So Bale's right up there for me.
Absolutely, dude. That's why I'm a Billy Gunn guy.
well.
I'm kidding, Austin Gunn. Let's not be too ridiculous. Melissa announced the special stipulation of no DQ, and if Conan interferes, Chavo becomes champion. And Melissa actually kind of sounded disgusted. I liked that. I really did. You know, it sets her apart from other ring announcers.
It helps the match, too. It helps, you know, the fans. It helps influence the fans to boo for the heel.
Yeah.
You know, and to cheer for the good guys. You want to get that creep. You want that creep to get his ass kicked.
And it did. It did enhance the atmosphere. And so did Conan yelling at Vampiro and Vampiro yelling back at him.
That was so awesome. Because it was like, if I'm pretty sure they just broke character and were just.
Maybe. But none of that matters because the atmosphere immediately gets killed because something happened to Chavo's leg.
I thought he got hit by that or someone hit his leg. I thought it moved.
But, like, no, that's real. Like, Chavo's actually hurt at this point in time.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a shoot, brother. Like, I could be wrong. I don't think Chavo is on the rest of the season.
Well, he's in Ultima Lucha.
Whatever, you're wrong. anyway, let's see here. So it's basically, it becomes like 2 minutes of Prince Puma against the crew. And they eventually they get the better of Prince Puma. And again, they do what they did to Blue Demon. They, you know, grab his arms and his legs, get him supine, ready for the frog splash. Chavo very gingerly goes up for it. And Chavo can't hit it because Tejano comes out. Oh, by the way, Conan, like, ushers Tejano, not Blue Demon. He ushers Tejano to come out to the ring. And Tejano makes the run in, takes out literally everyone. I could be wrong, I think he hit a powerbomb on Chavo.
He might have. It was one of them. I didn't care at the time.
Yeah, I get you. But anyway, that move, that allowed Prince Puma the opportunity to go up to the top rope and hit the 630, and Prince Puma gets the win. And, you know, we just put him over. We put over how strong he was in his efforts and all night long. And I get it. Okay, like it was 2.5 on one, but like ultimately the only reason Prince Puma won is because Tejano showed up.
Yeah, like, I mean,
not a strong effort for Prince Puma.
No, and did you really need? Was Conan's cane really ever? Yeah, this was stupid. I don't know. It hurts Conan, my brain to think about it.
I think Conan only used that cane on Cage. I'm pretty sure that's it. I think he teased using it on Hernandez, but he never did.
Yeah, thinking about this match is just No, you're right. It did nothing for Puma. Mm-hmm.
I would say it actually kind of hurt Puma, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it did nothing to help us. After what he just, I think the last show we talked about, he had like a great match.
Yeah, that strong. All night long. All night long.
This is why it doesn't need to be Puma in this position. Well, I guess he's a title owner, but like Chavo all of a sudden wants to be champion. I don't know. You didn't need to do a lot of this. That was what I'm saying.
I agree. Oh, and after the match, Conan, he kind of loudly asked Rey Mysterio, he's like, hey, did I get that one right?
So. Dave. Fan-breaking character.
Mm-hmm. So after this, we see Chavo in a locker room. He's recouping. When Blue Demon shows up, and Chavo at this point, you can tell, has decided he's going to play mind games with Blue Demon. And he's like, you know what? You're not even Mexico. Tejano's Mexico. You're just some has-been from Miami. And that sets off Blue Demon, who like grabs Chavo by the shirt collar and throws him up against a bunch of lockers. And he says, yo soy Mexico, which for those of you who are uncultured means I am Mexico.
Do you think he was more offended of being called a has-been or being told he's from Miami and he's like embarrassed about that?
Well, Miami is not like the most embarrassing part of Florida. So I don't want to step on your bit, but I'm going to say it's the has-been part.
Well, I mean, like it's kind of like they said in like the first episode, how like Mexicans don't like Spanish people because of the conquistadors. Yes. Yeah, like, so maybe he's offended. Like, what do you mean? I'm true Mexican. I'm not a Miamian.
It's like, yeah, I'm not Cuban or anything. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's what I thought he was more offended at that. He's like, fuck you. I live here.
Yeah, he's not a closet. He's not closeting his prejudice. That's for sure. Oh man. Oh, let's see here. Oh, and after Blue Demon goes off, Chavo has a smile on his face, and plan has seemingly worked so far.
Congratulations to Chavo for his plan. I'm sure it'll pay off in the long run.
I'm sure it will pay off very well, and definitely be a linchpin in the series arc.
Yeah.
5 out of 10. Oh wait, we don't do 1 to 10 ratings anymore. D.
Yeah, I was gonna say let's wrap this up because that's a D. Yeah. I'd give it an F, but like there was effort.
Yeah, exactly.
And there could have been a good show in some of the fragments.
Actually, I'm not gonna give it a D. I'm gonna give it D's.
Hmm.
Heyo. That's worse. Heyo. That's worse. folks, we are gonna get out of here. I've actually got NXT to watch on this April 8th. Hopefully Karrion Kross wins back the belt and James Boyd can get upset about it.
Is he good? Because I've only seen him in...
I like Kross, dude, but I'm kind of biased because like I saw him wrestle in like a casino in front of like 50 people in 2015. So it's got some of those like, I saw this mainstream band when they were underground kind of thing going on.
And what's his style of?
Kind of like Pancrase, kind of like Ken Shamrock to a degree.
Whoa, really?
Swear to God.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think you might like him, Greg. You should check it out.
We'll have to I'll have to figure out a way to watch it then.
You don't have the cock?
No. Oh, wait. No, I definitely don't have that.
Why don't you have the cock?
How much does that cost?
It's like $10 a month for ad-free, but $5 if you want the ad-based program.
So does the WWE Network no longer work at all?
It does not.
Oh, damn. But I used to like it.
It's like by August, they'll have the full catalog. They don't have it right now. They have like maybe a quarter of the catalog. But, you know, when all said and done, it'll basically be like WWE Network, but with like, hey, it's got The Office and it's got Cheers and Frasier and so on and so forth.
Okay.
I think it's worth the $5 or $10. $10 if you hate ads like I do.
All right. Well, I might. I don't know if I'll order it tonight, but I'll think about it.
That's the thing. I bet you could get a free trial if you wanted, but whatever. So, folks, that's going to be the show. But there are other shows on this network, believe it or not. Not as good as us, of course. But hold on 1 second. Hey, Greg, let me tell you what I had for dinner, okay?
Mm.
Okay, I had a Red Baron stuffed crust cheese pizza. Mm. Did you know they made Red Baron and stuffed crust?
Are we getting ad revenue for this right now?
No, but I just wanted to put it over because I loved it. It's a free ad.
Mm.
Do I need to stop that? Do I need to stop giving away ad space for $0?
Well, I just want to get out of here because...
Is DiGiorno one of our sponsors or something?
I'm not anymore.
And are they going to be pissed that I put over Red Baron?
Well, they're not, I mean.
Realistically, we should see if Jeremy can inquire to see if Tombstone wants to sponsor the network.
Any pizza that you can get in the freezer, we want to be at, we will do it for free pizzas.
Yeah, exactly.
Straight up.
Well, no, but I was going to say, like, especially Tombstone, because in my opinion, Tombstone might be the best frozen pizza. But also the double entendre with like the Tombstone pile driver, that sort of thing.
That too. But I'll yeah. If I can find the one pizza I got, I'll send you a recommendation that's really good.
Okay. All right. Yeah, for sure. Hit me up, dude. Guys, I alluded to it earlier. There are other shows on this network. I'm going to list them off in order that I see them on our website where we put the downloads. If you want to listen to a show about video games and Impact Wrestling, check out 8-Bit Suplex with Heel Josh number 2, Josh McLaughlin, and sometimes Shooter Santos, Sandy Gaviria. If you want to check out an AEW-based podcast, check out All Things Elite with Floyd Johnson Jr. and Austin Summerwitz. Of course, check us out. You're listening to us right now. Great Match Generator with DJ Cooks. Take a generator, generate random matches, random great matches. Talk about them. Great format, great idea, great concept. Independent Wrestling, if you want to check out a show dedicated to that, I implore you to listen to Grown Men Watch This Shit, starring James Vanderbeek, nope, not the guy from Varsity Blues, and Chris Things. You New Japan heads out there, if you want to talk about, oh, what happened with the belt and the unification, and that new belt looks like the Divas belt, whatever, if you want to hear people talk about that, listen to Keeping It Strong Style with the Boss, Jeremy Donovan, and the Young Boy, Hill Josh number 1, Josh Smith. The first show on the network, the inaugural show on the network, One Nation Radio, hosted by Rich Latta and James Boyd. They talk WWE, AEW, sometimes Stardom because Dr. Joshi is there. They'll talk they will talk sports, they will talk politics, music, everything. It's a nice little catch-all. If you liked baseball, I would like force so much baseball talk into the show. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Good. Just give me that dead air when baseball gets brought.
It's my favorite part.
If you want a show that talks about, you know, WWE, AEW previously mentioned shows with an international flair, I do suggest Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show. Two good friends of mine, Ricky and Clive, their nicknames. You know, I'm not going to give away shoot names, even though I think they've been used on the air multiple times.
Wait, that's not their real names?
No. sorry to subvert your expectation there, but no.
Is anything in wrestling real?
No, absolutely not. And neither is Chris Benoit. He's a figment of our imagination. The Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show, that's the last show I mentioned. You know, last but not least, you know, that's a good lineup of shows there. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I just know if I like something, I wouldn't list it last, but yes.
Well, I mean, I'm literally just going in alphabetical order.
Not if that's not their real names.
Shut up.
Damn.
Dude. Ah, guys, come next week. I may be looking for a new co-host because Greg might be dead. Who knows?
He doesn't have anyone else to edit, so you'll be listening to me and Muzza on the next Grave Consequences.
Well, you know, now it's going to suck, though, if, like, one of us does die before the next time we're supposed to record.
No, it wouldn't. That'd be hilarious.
No, it would be awful, because you'd be like, oh, and by the way, if it is me, feel free to edit and post the show. Oh. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey.
You know what I just thought about? If it did happen, it would be out of timeline.
Ooh. Yeah.
So that would confuse people. So it would just be stupid then. It probably wouldn't be that funny.
Maybe so. Yeah, they'd be like, oh, well, Caleb died like 2 weeks ago. Why the hell are they talking about it now? But hey, you know, every day when you wake up and you leave the house, you take a chance, you take a risk to live or die. And for anyone out there, including myself or Greg, every day of your life, you could suffer grave consequences.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.